Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
My mother picked me up from the airport in the dark hours of the morning. It had been a long flight and an even longer year. When we finally pulled into the driveway, the ranch house I grew up in looked like a little black shipwreck sticking out of the fog. Why is the kitchen light on? I wondered. Mom lives alone. We're here, boy. Oh, yes, we are, my mom shouted as she opened the door. That's odd, I thought. Is she talking to me? I rolled my luggage into the dark hallway. I didn't really need a light, after all. I knew the place by heart. The jet lag was hitting hard, and I barely managed a hug and a simple conversation before I had to drag myself off to bed. I heard Mom's muffled voice from the kitchen as I drifted off to sleep. It was a sweet, cooing sort of sound, the tone of voice you'd use with a baby, or a pet. By the next morning, I'd forgotten all about it. I chugged black coffee and chomped on cereal while my mother and I tried to plan our visit. We'd always been close, but since I landed my dream job teaching in Japan, we only saw each other about once a year. We had to make it count. Well, that should be fine, my mom responded to the day trip I proposed, as long as I'm home in time to let Cooper out. Sorry, Cooper? Another thing about being away from people for a long time, differences that you might not notice otherwise, like aging or personality changes, really stand out, and they tend to be changes for the worse. I felt a pang of guilt looking around the place. It looked more small and worn down than I remembered. Oh, silly, you know, Mum winked. Cooper, the dog. I didn't know you'd gotten a dog. There it was again, that feeling of time slipping by. Really? Mum scrunched up her eyebrows. I thought for sure I mentioned it. Well, I'm sure you'll meet him while you're visiting. I hope you two get along. I do too, I thought, frowning. Truth was, I didn't really like dogs all that much, and I was pretty sure that feeling was mutual. I know how attached some people get to their pets, but when I look into a dog's forward-facing predator eyes, my first thought is, creatures like this used to hunt and eat creatures like me. I peered out the blinds at the dead grass and leaning shed outside. Two shining stainless steel bowls glinted in the winter sun. So, is Cooper out back or... Oh, I don't know. He comes and goes. I squinted at something across the way. A missing pet poster stuck to a telephone pole. It was for a cat, though. As I got us packed and bundled up for our day trip, my eyes fixed on a new addition to the house I hadn't noticed in the dark. Either it was a black rubber dog door, built for a big dog. My eyes fixed on a new addition to the house I hadn't noticed in the dark either. It was a black rubber dog door, built for a big dog. Each time it rattled in the wind, a shiver ran up my spine. When we finally pulled out of the driveway, I realized that I was actually relieved to be leaving my home behind, without a sign of Cooper. We arrived after dark, hungry and tired from too much driving with too many stops. I went straight for the kitchen to prepare dinner, and I was so focused on chopping vegetables that at first I didn't notice the strange sounds coming from the living room. There we go. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Leaning around the corner, I saw my mom bent over in a rocker, making a stroking motion. Cooper, I figured. Odd that I hadn't heard him come in. Mom and Cooper were still at play when I finished the jambalaya. Or so I thought. But when I turned the kitchen corner, my mom was staring dead ahead at the TV. There was a program on about a pair of kids who'd gone missing from a playground a few blocks away. Mom, I ventured, can I help with Cooper? Thanks anyway, dear. My mother nodded and took the steaming bowl out of my hand. But he just ran off. I'm sure he's around here somewhere. He comes and goes. Yeah, you mentioned that. I was beginning to feel uneasy again, but I still couldn't say why. Don't you think it's kind of odd that he hasn't come out to, I don't know, greet me or something? You're the first new person Cooper's known besides me. Mom sighed happily as she dug into her dinner. Maybe he's just shy. That may have been true, but for the first time, I found myself unable to relax or unwind while visiting home. And it was all because of this unseen, unknown presence that just might pop up at any time. Where does Cooper usually hang out? I asked after a few hours of movies, snacks, and what's new with everybody chit-chat. I think I'd like to say hi. It makes sense that a shy dog would hide in the basement, right? I tried to reassure myself as I descended the stairs. The scuffed up wood brought back childhood memories. In those memories, I always seemed to be running up them as fast as I could, terrified of what I'd see if I looked back over my shoulder. But I was an adult now, standing with my shoulders square at the bottom of the steps, ready to turn on the light. And there was nothing to be afraid of, right? I gave the chain a tug. The basement didn't seem like it had changed at all since I was a kid. Same dented filing cabinets, rusty cans, old appliances, a smell like dust and oil, and wet fur. Cooper? I whispered. I felt like a fool. I tried again, a little louder. Cooper! Here, boy! Cooper! The cellar's damp and chill sank into my bones as I waited for a response. Nothing. With a sigh, I clicked off the bulb, started up the stairs, and heard something large padding around in the dark. With a start, I rushed back down, yanked on the light chain. Again, nothing. But I'd heard something out there among the cobwebs and covered furniture. I was sure of it. I waited a solid minute before heading back, defeated. The movement started again when I was about halfway up. That is, just as far from the upstairs light as the one downstairs. This time, it wasn't just skittering around. It was charging. The bulk of something much heavier than I was made the wooden steps creak and groan in the pitch blackness behind me. I ran as fast as I could, but even so, I felt hot, panting breaths on my shins before I burst into the light of the kitchen. Mom looked at me curiously. Heh, I gasped. 20 years later, I guess I'm still scared of the basement, huh? Without a word, my mother turned back to the blue glow of the TV. Apparently, there was no sign of the two missing children. Although I went to bed early that night, I couldn't sleep. I kept waiting to hear movement from the basement or the rubber door flap. I'd almost drifted off when I got my wish. The clatter of the flap, the clack of paws on a hard surface coming down my bedroom hallway. The sound got closer and closer, then seemed to pass right through my locked door. Whatever it was in the room with me. I sat up straight and turned on the light. I could hear its steps all around, and it sounded too big to hide. So, where was it? It was only when my instincts made me look up that I saw the muddy paw prints being tracked in circles on my bedroom ceiling. A chill ran down my spine, that scared prey sense that comes from being watched by unseen eyes. The invisible thing on my ceiling stopped. Then, growled. What the? I ran out of the room, heavy paw steps fast behind. I cried out to my mother, who had dozed off in a recliner. The growling behind me deepened, then stopped. Mom sat up and put on her glasses. "Oh," she smiled, "I see you've met Cooper."
"What?"
I wheezed. I heard panting and the sound of a wagging tail scraping across the floor. What the hell was this? I watched invisible paws sink into the carpet as the panting thing padded over to my mom. Its growls turned into happy yelps as, I guessed, my mother scratched its belly. "Who's a good boy?" my mom cooed. I crept closer. "Mom?" I didn't know how to begin. "Do you see anything?" A snarl and a chomping sound cut me off. I felt, rather than saw, that something big had sprung to its feet before me and raised its hackles. Had a set of invisible jaws just snapped by my hand? "Oops," my mother cautioned. "It seems like it's still not used to you." I backed away until I was in the hallway, ready to run, then shouted, "There isn't a dog there. I don't know what you've got there, but it isn't a dog." "Don't be silly. Of course, Cooper is a very good boy." "Yes, he is." The pleased yipping and whimpers resumed. It was more than I could take. I went back to my childhood bedroom, slammed the door and locked it. Not that it would do any good. When the noises finally stopped, I assumed my mother had gone to bed. I tried to keep any darker possibilities out of my mind, because, as concerned as I was for her, the truth was that I was too scared to check, too scared of what might happen if I ran into that thing alone in the dark of the hallway, without my mother's apparently protective influence. I sat up in bed with a light on and an open pocket knife clutched in my fist. Not like that would do much good against an invisible creature with claws longer than its blade, and tried to stay awake and vigilant. I must have fallen asleep, because the next thing I remember was the sag of my bed as something heavy clambered close to me. My nose was overpowered by a reek like damp fur and rancid meat, but I didn't dare to move. For a couple of seconds, I lay stiff as a corpse, with Cooper's hot breath sweeping across my face. Then, it spoke. "Do you want to see me?" The voice was guttural and gravelly, like if a bear could talk.
"See you? What are you?" I whispered. "What do you want?"
"Do you want to see me?" it repeated. I screamed. I heard my mother's hobbling footsteps and felt awful for waking her, no matter how horrible the cause. The thing lowered its voice to a growling whisper as my mom fumbled with the door. "If you say yes, you can't take it back."
"Cooper,"
my mom put her hands on her hips,
"get down from there, this instant." "I'm sorry," she laughed. "He's just not used to other people, you know."
"Mom, what does Cooper look like to you?"
"Well, honey," my mom scratched her head. "I mean, he's hard to describe. Like a standard dog, I guess."
"Why? Why would you ask me that?"
"Well," I stammered, I can't see him. Can other people see Cooper?"
Dead silence.
Then, "How would I know? It's not like I can take him for walks at my age." "What do you mean you can't see him?" my mom stalled. That's just ridiculous."
"Come on, you must have noticed that something's off," I pressed. "Like people look at you funny when you call him or play with him outside, or when the mailmen or Jehovah's Witnesses or Girl Scouts or whoever comes to the door, they just act like he isn't there, right?"
The thing beside me didn't like this line of conversation at all. I felt it gently but firmly place a paw the size of a dinner plate on top of my stomach. Even with all the adrenaline running, I recognized that signal for what it was. A warning. One of those claws would open up my intestines like a sharp knife slicing through sausage.
"I don't know what you're talking about," my mom snorted after a long pause.
but I could tell that I was onto something. She couldn't see Cooper either. My mind flashed back to those stainless steel dog dishes out back, to the missing cat sign, to the two kids who'd vanished in this very neighborhood. Mom, I chose my words carefully. How did you find Cooper? What does he, eat? One day, I just heard him on my doorstep, whining and wagging his tail, so I told him he could come in. Mom put her hands on her hips. And he's not expensive to feed, if that's what you mean. Unlike you when you lived under this roof, Cooper takes care of himself. Are you sure Cooper doesn't get into any trouble? What do you mean? My mother's expression changed to one of genuine worry. Honey, you're scaring me. You don't want to scare Mom, do you? The thing snarled, so low that only I could hear it. As it did, it dug its claws into my stomach, ever so slightly. Nah, I faked a smile. It was just a bad joke. I'm just tired. I'm sorry. Well, my mother looked at me uncomfortably. If you still don't feel right in the morning, I can call Dr. Strauss. You know, the one you talked to when you had that incident back in high school. Did you know he's still practicing psychiatry, even at his age? I think he went to class with his daughter, in fact. She's a doctor now too, you know. I felt the invisible claws tapping impatiently on my very exposed belly. I whimpered. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to try to sleep now, and it looks like Cooper and I are getting along a lot better, huh? You sure are. My mom finally smiled again. It was a tired smile, though. The years of careworn wrinkles I'd given her were clear, even as she switched off the light. Good night, honey. Feel better in the morning. With the lights off and the door closed, I was alone in total darkness with my mom's special pet. For a time, the heavy mass beside me just lay there, breathing heavily, its claw holding me firmly in place. After my mom's tottering footsteps fell silent, however, it nuzzled close. A huge, rough tongue licked the side of my face. Aww, a mocking growl hissed into my ear. Who's a good boy?
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.